morning. This is Jeremy Brunson, Interim Director here at Nebraska Medicaid and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. I am joined this morning by one of my peer deputy directors, Carissa Mushek. We appreciate everybody taking time out of your busy schedules to jump on the phone with us for our weekly provider call and stakeholder call regarding Nebraska Medicaid's current actions and work in response to COVID-19 in Nebraska. So just a couple quick things out of the box. I would just like to remind all callers that all lines are muted other than the host here at the state office building. We do take live questions via our mailbox that we've established, and that mailbox is dhhs.mltcexperience@nebraska.gov. In the event that we aren't able to answer your question or do not have time to address all questions submitted during our call, we will do our best to respond back to you in writing in a timely fashion. And you're also welcome to submit questions to that mailbox at any time, as we do monitor that and try to respond to any inquiries that come into that mailbox. So really wanted to start off today talking a little about some of the updates on some items that we posted on our website since the last time that we talked last week. So we'll lead off talking a little bit about something that should get posted on our website here within the next day or so, if it hasn't already been posted. And that is that the state of Nebraska has submitted a second 1135 waiver request to our federal partners at CMS. The second request seeks additional flexibilities during the public health emergency. Specifically, we requested 5 additional flexibilities. These are in addition to the flexibilities that we already have sought and had approved in our first 1135 waiver application. So for a quick review of what we have submitted, first, we are requesting to extend any pre-existing fee-for-service authorization for beneficiaries through the termination of the emergency declaration. Second, we're also requesting to extend MDS authorizations for nursing facility and skilled nursing facility residents. We're also requesting to modify deadlines for OASIS and MDS assessments and transmission. Fourth, we're requesting to suspend 2-week aid supervision requirements by a registered nurse for home health agencies. And last, we're requesting to suspend supervision of a hospice aide by a registered nurse every 14 days, the requirement for hospice agencies. So that's a quick summary of what you can expect to see posted for Nebraska's second 1135 waiver application to our federal partners. Also wanted to call out a letter that our Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services CEO, Dennett Smith, provided to all Nebraska healthcare providers that we posted on our webpage on April 30th, so Thursday of last week. Just wanted to encourage all providers to take a moment and read the bulletin that is linked within the letter that was posted on our website. And the bulletin is guidance from the Office of Civil Rights and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, specifically around fair access to health services. Obviously, something we all care about and believe in with the provision of health care, given that we have access to care for all individuals, including those who have situations where they are deaf or hard of hearing or blind or have low vision, speech disabilities through the use, and allowing that access through the use of qualified interpreters, picture boards, and other means, and a number of other items that are laid out both in the bulletin and highlighted in the letter from CEO Smith. So we encourage all providers to go out and take a look at that bulletin. At this time, I'd like to pass the torch on to my colleague, Carissa Mushek, who has a few other updates that she'd like to share.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. Two items that I would like to cover and provide some high-level information on is one of them is an update on our Appendix K. We have, since our last call, posted an FAQ that addresses some specific questions that we've received on the Appendix K and just a high-level overview of the waivers that we submitted and what was approved. You can find that on our provider bulletin page. And just as a reminder, when you go out to our provider bulletin page, the DHHS Medicaid provider bulletin page, there's an option on the top left-hand side to subscribe for alerts. When you click on that link, it allows you to put in your information, and that will ensure that every time we post new information, you get an alert that new information is there for you to go look at. So just some high-level information about the Appendix K and what it will help us do to support persons, patients, and their families within Nebraska is it does allow us to provide certain services in alternative settings. Those services include chore, respite, extra care for children with disabilities, and an alternative setting for delivered meals in the event that the home the patient is no longer residing in their home for COVID or other related reasons. It also allows additional days for respite services to be authorized, and it allows for electronic means for service coordination. This will help us meet some of the needs with our providers and our patients and help ensure that we can support the safety of all of our patients and persons that are out there in the community. The second item that I wanted to cover were co-pays. So due to the COVID emergency, Nebraska Medicaid, starting May 1st, will be waiving co-pays for all services for Medicaid patients. These are patients that are through our MCO plans, but also our fee-for-service. And this includes co-pays that are for pharmacy medications, but also any services such as clinic visits or ER visits. The technology to support the waiving of these copays may take a bit from our partners to be implemented, and so they will be working with any providers starting May 1st to reimburse or waive any copays for patients that appear for services. So if you see patients coming for services and it is showing you that they will have a copay due, start not collecting that copay, and if you do, the MCOs will be reaching out to work with you to reimburse. And a portion of this is going back to March 1st. We will be working with the providers to reimburse copays for any patients that are identified to have COVID or COVID-related therapies or services. So again, your MCOs will be reaching out to you. Waiver of all copays starts May 1st, and they'll be working with you to go back and reimburse any copays to March 1st for patients that have COVID-related therapies or services. That information has also been posted on our provider bulletin, and as you're working with the MCOs, they will have specific guidance for each of the providers and will reach out to you directly for any additional action that you need to take.
Thank you, Carissa. A couple other items that we wanted to cover with providers this morning and stakeholders this morning. First, we wanted to share for those of you on the call that are a nursing facility or provider, CMS notified states and nursing facilities last week that they're allowing facilities to apply for the use of CMP funds for communication devices. I believe that in most all providers in Nebraska are aware, but we wanted to use this opportunity on this call to share as well. And the purpose for these funds is really to enable social interaction through technology and to give the providers an additional avenue to obtain that equipment. We will be additionally posting a link and some information on our website. We expect it to post today, which will have more guidance along with the application really. It's a basic process that providers can follow. The feds, our federal partners, do define the types of devices that are allowable and set forth the requirements in the application. I will note that there are limitations as to the number or the amount of funds and number of devices that may be purchased. So we do expect and know that if every single nursing facility in the state of Nebraska requests the maximum amount, there are not enough CMP funds available for that purpose. So we will work to ensure that we can provide as much as we possibly can to all facilities that are requesting devices in Nebraska. And we appreciate the partnership that we've had to date with Leading Edge and Nebraska Healthcare Association as we work through some of those details. Also, another item that we wanted to cover and provide an update on is that late Friday afternoon, Medicaid directors across the nation had a call with our federal partners, CMS, and their leadership team. The purpose of the call was regarding the CARES Act Provider Relief Funds and the potential of a portion of those dollars to be used specifically for Medicaid providers. We are working through a process by which states, including Nebraska, are engaged with our federal partners to provide requested data around Medicaid payments for all Medicaid participating providers. And so we're working through that process now to submit information to our federal partners. Our federal partners would be the entity determining any potential dollars that might be spent or provided through the provider relief funds. And at this time, we really don't have any insight or details regarding total amounts planned for Medicaid providers at a federal level, at a state level, or at a provider level. We're really focused right now on getting timely and accurate data to our federal partners as requested, and I'm sure more information will be forthcoming in the coming days, weeks, timetable. So we did want to share that information as it's relatively new information and very relevant to our providers in Nebraska and for this call. At this time, we will go ahead and take a look to see what questions might be in our mailbox. Again, you can submit live questions to that mailbox that we are monitoring. It's dhhs.mltcexperience@nebraska.gov.
Yes, thank you, Jeremy. So we do have a couple very specific questions on the copays, and these are specific to pharmacy and whether there will need to be a secondary COB claim sent in. And so that information will come directly from the MCOs as they work with the pharmacy providers to manage that process. And from May 1st going forward, we are going to waive copays for all medications. From March, all medications and all services, from March 1st through May 1st, we will be reimbursing copays for any patients that are identified to have received COVID-related services, and it will be copays for anything that the patient paid during those 2 months. We do want to point out that the state and the Heritage Health Plans will continue to pay the Medicaid-allowed amount for services. And services and medications will not reduce payments for medications or services that previously had been subject to copayment. We had another question, just generally based on share of cost for dual eligible patients. And this does not apply to dual eligible patients. This only applies to Medicaid specific beneficiaries. And we will respond directly to the requester of that question. And Jeremy, that's really the summary of all we received so far.
Great. Thank you, Carissa. So not a lot of questions in our mailbox. So we will go ahead and talk a little bit about some additional information that we've been trying to keep in front of our providers on a weekly basis. We are continuing to work on additional actions in Nebraska. Some of those things include a second emergency spa that we've talked about with providers as being in the works for a couple weeks. There are several items included in that emergency spa, most of which we'll share at the time that we are ready to publish and submit that request to our federal partners. But it includes items that I've talked about in the past, potentially like non-acute stays, coverage and payment for non-acute stays in hospital settings, amongst other things. I do also want to note that last call we shared that given that the number of questions and the really the amount of content at which we're pushing out is starting to relax, that we do intend to go to an every other week schedule. So we will be updating our website, but at this time we are anticipating not having our call next week and moving to an every other week scheduled time frame, which would then mean that our next call tentatively would be on May 19th. So at this point, that's our plan. We will publish that on our website with a call schedule for the upcoming couple months, so people have clear identification of when we do have our scheduled calls. But it's very likely that we'll go ahead and pull off and remove the plan for next week and then go every other week. So we're going to take one last look into our provider mailbox questions. We may have gotten a question or two flow in while we've been providing that update.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. We have had a question come in about day rehab, and we thank you very much for this question. This has become a very complex area. We want to ensure that we can work with our providers to meet the needs of the patients. At the same time, we have to ensure that providers can meet federal regulation standards for billing services. So for Medicaid coverage services, the provider needs to be able to meet the service definition in order to bill that CPT code. If the service definition has specific time requirements in it, you have to be able to provide services for that length of time. Nebraska Medicaid does not have the flexibility to redefine what service definitions are or redefine what the definitions are within CPT code. So for any programs that provide day rehab services, we are reaching out to you directly with any specific questions that you might have specific to your programs and your patients, and talking through any questions you have about day rehab. But from a high level, in order to bill a CPT code or bill for services, you have to meet the service definition of that service, which may include specific time amounts as defined within that service definition.
Thank you, Carissa. Thank you for the questions that have been submitted, not only during the call, but throughout the course of the week. We regularly receive questions from providers and associations and stakeholders, and it does help us as a department think through the many operational kind of challenges that the realities that you're facing as you try to balance, what's right for the patient with the public health emergency and the realities of running a business. And so it really does help us understand and try to make more informed decisions at a program level for Medicaid. So thank you very much for all you're doing. We appreciate the effort and the caringness and really the willingness to come to the table and help steer us through this public health emergency. Thank you for all you're doing, and we look forward to talking with you all again in a couple of weeks.